We're back. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food here on June 25th, 2013. And lovely, lovely, lovely summer day here in New York City. I can't believe how fabulous it is with that fragrant linden tree all in the air. Okay, I know I said it before, but I'm really excited about it. I have with me in the studio Kristen LaJeunesse, and from Nine to Fiverr to lifestyle designer, she has taken her background in marketing and applied it directly to the things she loves most: food, travel, and helping others discover ways in which they too can do what they love for a living. And back on February 14, 2011, she launched the first and only vegan wedding resource website, Rose Petals Vegan Weddings. While she was finding her entrepreneurial legs, she honed her communication skills while working for the World Society for the Protection of Animals and her social media consulting skills with Vegan Mainstream. Before long, Kristen's entrepreneurial and traveling spirit grew stronger, and she left traditional comforts behind, and in September 2011 hit the road on the epic, life-changing road trip across the country. Will Travel for Vegan Food was born and has since blossomed into a growing business venture. She's currently working on a book about her road trip and continues to stretch her entrepreneurial stride as she helps others grow their businesses through social media and online marketing guidance. It's all good and it's all about food. Thank you for joining me, Kristen.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to sit back and relax and talk about my favorite subject, vegan food, and learn a little bit about your travels. Okay, so you've been all around the country?
I have, yeah. I'm just wrapping up now here in New York City. I spent the last 18 months driving around the country and managed to get to 48 states and have, at this point, eaten at nearly every vegan restaurant in the country. I have about 30 left to go in New York City.
Yeah, well, there's plenty here.
Yes.
Wow. And you say nearly. Which ones did you miss?
Which restaurants?
Yeah.
Well, I have a list of them. I don't know them all off the top of my head. I've already hit the, you know, popular major ones here.
Right.
So I'm slowly working my way through the ones that are kind of in the outskirts or further away in Brooklyn or farther.
Right. Okay. So when you hit each restaurant, did you let them know what you were doing?
Not all of them. When I first started my road trip, I was more diligent about contacting the restaurants ahead of time, just to give them a heads up and share with them my story. But as I continued on, it just became a lot of work, the writing, mm-hmm. the driving, the eating. And so I decided to just kind of continue on. And most of the time when I'm there, nobody knows who I am or what I'm doing until after the fact. When I write about having been there, I'll usually contact them and send a link to what I've written about my experience there.
I was talking with a few notable vegans the other day, and we were commenting about how many vegans blog about restaurants or review restaurants, and they're always good.
Mm-hmm.
Are your reviews or are your discussions about the restaurants always good? Because I'm glad they're all out there, every one of them, but mm-hmm. some are way better than others, and yeah. some need to try harder.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, going into my little adventure, I made a promise to myself that I wouldn't speak negatively about any places. So if I did go to a place and I really didn't like it, I would not write about it. However, if you follow my blog posts about the restaurants, you'll notice a pattern where, now I'm kind of outing myself, but you'll notice a pattern where if I really loved a place, I would be very long-winded about it. And if I wasn't thrilled, you would just get pictures. So that's kind of how yeah. I navigated that, because ultimately my goal was just to create free marketing for these restaurants to help them out, not to necessarily bash them.
It's so vegan. I'm listening to you talk and I'm thinking that's because we don't want to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
It's all part of the whole vegan psyche. Now, okay, there are some angry vegans out there that will do some hurtful things, but for the most part, I think we all really are so excited to see any restaurant out there that's mm-hmm. vegan, especially some of us older folks who didn't see too many 20 or 30 years ago, and now here in New York, it's vegan paradise, the best yeah. city in the world and the best city for vegan food, I think. What do you think?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
I have to be honest, I fell in love with Portland, Oregon when I was there.
Oh, yeah, they're pretty amazing.
And mm-hmm. They just, even though they might not have the same number of vegan restaurants that we have here in New York City, the quality of the food there is absolutely outstanding, and there's such a variety. So it definitely kind of stole my heart, for sure.
They have more restaurants that are vegan friendly than 100% vegan, right? They're really got that whole sustainable, local grown thing going on there.
I would say that they have a lot of vegan friendly mm-hmm. restaurants. My trip focused primarily on 100% vegan only. So I think, if I recall correctly, Portland had maybe 15 or so completely vegan restaurants. So that's pretty substantial.
Pretty good.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in New York City, how many do we have?
I'm pretty sure you have around 120.
Oh, 100% vegan?
But we're including food trucks, juice bars, bakeries, all of it.
Right.
Anything.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember when I was initially doing research, I realized that the entire state of California has the same number of vegan restaurants as the city of New York.
You know, I'm not surprised to hear that because I spent a lot of time in California. I lived there for 9 years, and then I commuted from New York to California for 6 years. That's a long story. So I've done a lot of eating there, and I go back very frequently. And it's hard to find a lot of vegetarian restaurants and vegan restaurants. Mm-hmm. And it's also hard to find juice bars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, but they're just not hip to juicing like we are here in New York City.
Yeah, well, I found that as a trend actually on the East Coast entirely. There's more juice bars from top to bottom here than there are on the West Coast at all.
Hmm.
There were some hot spots on the West Coast that had juice bars.
Right. But any idea why that is?
I'm not sure. Also, interesting, Florida has a higher number of raw food restaurants than almost any other state that I visited. So I'm not sure if that's just because they're all running around bikinis all the time or what's going on, but definitely very raw conscious there.
Yeah, no, I think the weather has a lot to do with it. The mm-hmm. weather and the humidity, really.
Yeah. No one wants to eat a bunch of cooked food all the time.
Yeah, when it's hot and it's humid, raw food is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about raw food since we're there.
Sure.
Were there a lot of raw food restaurants out there that you've been to?
Not a lot. I would say maybe 15 to 20% of the total restaurants I've been to were raw. Of course, I was also being a little selective because I found it conflicting personally to go to them if they had honey or beeswax or mm-hmm. something, because I personally don't consume that. And that's kind of a trend with the raw food community, is including honey. So,
right.
So I would make exceptions sometimes and go and just visit if it was the only place on my list in that area. And other times I would just skip them if there were other options around, because I didn't necessarily want to perpetuate, you know, the honey thing, because I'm not on board with that.
Yeah, it's interesting, these little quirky stereotypes that come about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely noticed that. I was on an all raw diet for about 2 years, 2004 to late in 2005. I'm not on the pulse of raw food anymore, but when I was, it was really an intense lifestyle, intense focus for me, and being with the raw community, which is an interesting community.
I think we can say that about vegans and any kind of very specific community,
no,
right?
The raw community was more so, just more so, but they do tend to like honey. So just, let's just talk about honey for a minute here.
Sure.
I'm really, as I was mentioning before we started, I'm into the big picture. What I want to see, my intention is to rid the world of factory farming, rid the world. My number one thing is mm-hmm. let's get the horrible confinement, mistreatment of animals for products out of the equation. Let's just get rid of it. Then we can focus on a lot of other things and have mm-hmm. discussions about organic and quote, humane farming and mm-hmm. raising chickens in your backyard and all kinds of other things. These are all not as significant to me mm-hmm. as this big, horrific factory farming thing that's going on. And then there's honey. So mm-hmm. it's not up there, but I don't eat honey either, so I know where you're coming from. But we do have a bee situation.
Yes.
And I think a lot of that is related to toxic chemicals that are used where bees are around more than anything else. And we know that bees can thrive if they're treated nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And some people feel they're doing a great thing by growing bees. And why not, you know, just mm-hmm. take a little honey? It's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't. I don't think it's for you. But it's... not as big as the factory farming thing for me to talk about.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the factory farming is definitely a priority because it is on such a mass scale. I mean, I have watched some documentaries on bee farming and such, and it only reinforced my desire to not support that industry.
Well, share that with us. Why don't you think we should be supporting that industry?
I'm trying to recall the name of the documentary that I was watching specific to this, but it just talked a lot about breeding honeybees and the shipping of them around the world so that they can help populate crops and everything, spread the pollen. And it just, the treatment of them in that capacity was really hard to see. I mean, they were artificially inseminating the queen bee to get a certain type of, I mean, a woman sitting there in a lab with a little syringe, into the
raping.
Yeah, exactly. And I had no idea that even existed. It didn't even cross my mind.
Huh.
And I was already not consuming honey or bee pollen or anything. And then I saw that and I thought, this is just, it's just as bad. We just don't think about it because they're these little tiny insects and we assume that they don't feel in the capacity that we can see the emotion on cows and pigs' faces and such.
Who thinks of these things?
Mm. You got me. People with money, I guess that's it.
So what kind of car were you riding around in during your wheel travel for vegan food?
I had a lovely green sports van, Chevy sports van. I called her Gertie. She was actually named by a friend of a friend at our little going away party. And she was an old lady, so we decided to call her Gertie. My friend...
When you said green, you meant color green.
Color green. Yes. Not green as in inexperienced.
Right. Or an environmentally...
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
superior or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I did spend some time looking for a vehicle that I could try to make more green, but my search quickly ended when I realized that I just needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
I was using it almost to stall the process of just getting going.
I want to stop there for a minute. That's such a good point. A lot of people complain about what they want and how they can't get it. And sometimes you just have to go and do it.
Start before you're ready.
Yeah. Just go. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and as I was getting ready to go, a friend of mine and my father actually helped. They pulled all the seats out of the van and built a bed in the back on plywood. We put a piece of foam mattress in there and had a chest for clothes. And we included some blackout curtains so at night we could just, like, close it up and couldn't see in or out. And, yeah, it became my little sanctuary. It was really nice in there.
Now, what about the people that cared about you thinking about this project that you had, traveling alone and traveling for vegan food?
Well, my parents, I think, were a little torn in the beginning because they are also vegan, so they support the vegan message and what I was doing. And they're actually the reason that I am vegan. So I was resonating listening to Robin talk about raising her kids.
Mm-hmm.
But they were also a little concerned, I think, about my safety. You know, a young woman traveling around mostly by herself and sleeping in a vehicle at night and gas stations and Walmart parking lots and side streets. It can sound a little scary. And, of course, I even was a little nervous going into it. But the idea of it and just the notion of kind of what I could do to help spread the word about veganism and also just live a really interesting passion that I didn't think would be doable. And just to make that happen meant that I just couldn't stop. You know, I needed to do this. Mm-hmm. I needed to do it. So I think my resolve to do it really helped them understand that I was going to do it no matter what.
So you were raised from birth as a vegan?
No. When I was 16 years old, my parents sat me down and said that they wanted to become vegetarian together as a family. And this was after my brother, who's 5 years older than me, had become vegetarian. Mm. And they were actually worried about his health at first. But they did all this research and tried to kind of prove to him why it was bad for him.
And they
found the opposite, exactly. So I was a little kind of like, whatever, I'll go with the flow. I'm very close with my parents, so I trusted their decision. And so we went through a few years of awful veggie burgers and a lot of experimental cooking. And I give it to my parents. I mean, they did all the prep work in the kitchen and everything. I just kind of ate whatever came out, regardless of if it was good or not. And I probably complained a few times. And then I went off to college and I remained vegetarian. And I actually never really did any research on it myself. I just, from that point forward, I was vegetarian. But my parents got really involved in the local veg community in upstate New York near Albany. And just through meeting other vegans and going to events and festivals and expos, they decided to become vegan. So every time I would come home on break from college, there would be some weird milk in the fridge, and then the ice cream was gone. Like, not the ice cream. So, yeah, and I was pretty resistant to veganism. I didn't see the relation or anything. Vegetarian and veganism felt like two separate worlds. And then for me, what it was probably 2 or 3 years after my parents had become vegan, I was out of college living on my own. And I went to an event in Syracuse, New York, where I was living at the time. And I listened to registered dietitian by the name of George Eisman.
Oh, sure. He's great.
Yeah. Talk about why dairy isn't necessary. And it was kind of in that moment that I finally heard what was being said and stopped judging everyone around me. Mm. And it just clicked. And so, and then after that, of course, the transition was easy because my parents had already been vegan for a few years.
What is it about humans, the way we don't want to
so
hear
resistant.
Things, so
yeah.
resistant, and how sometimes we have to hear something over and over and over mm-hmm. and over and over and over and over, and then finally, what was that you said?
Right. Yeah.
Oh,
or we
gosh.
Wait until it directly impacts us, like Robin
yeah.
was saying earlier, too.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I don't get it, but okay. I accept.
Well, and that's why we're here, too, right, that's to help right. promote that message.
Right. Anybody who wants to know more, you can ask me, send an email, info@realmeals.org. You know, I love talking about this and writing about it. And speaking of that, do you have a website? I know you're blogging, but where do we find you?
I do. You can either go to willtravelforveganfood.com or WTF, which of course stands for Will Travel For.
Oh,
WTF, veganfood.com.
Okay. Because
mm-hmm.
I didn't put that in your bio, and I'm going to have to update that and link to you. All right. So let's start with the worst thing you had. You don't have to say where you had it unless you want to, or you could give us an idea of the region maybe. But what was the worst thing you had on this traveling expedition?
Yeah, there was, I don't know that it necessarily was the worst in terms of flavor, although it didn't really have much flavor, but the most interesting meal I think I had was at a restaurant in California. It was a vegan shark fin soup. And
okay.
I ordered it purely out of curiosity. I've never had traditional shark fin soup, so I had nothing to compare it to, but I just didn't even know that a faux version of this existed, so I gave it a try, and it was really just kind of bland. There was nothing
rubbery
to
bland.
It. Yeah, nothing to it.
There are a number of vegan fish analogs out there, and some are better than others. I find the faux shrimp mm-hmm. in some places, when you just taste it plain, maybe has a suggestion, but when you play with it and fry mm-hmm. it and season it, I've purchased it from a restaurant and served it to people that were not vegan, and they were going nuts over it. All right, so you're kind of being, what's the word I'm looking for? You're treading gently here. Now, did you have any other focus? Because I know I come from, I'm always looking for healthy. I know there's mm-hmm. a lot of vegan junk out there, mm-hmm. and occasionally I will indulge, but it's rare. And it's becoming rarer and rarer, actually, but I like the healthy food. I'm not into the fried food. I know there was, I don't even know if it's still here, but there was a restaurant in Brooklyn, I think, that served a lot of fried
food swings. Yep, they're still there.
They're still
yeah.
here. And I remember when I first ate there, I was very excited that they existed, and I didn't want to have anything on the menu.
Yeah, people go nuts for that place, that's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, they like that fried
yeah.
stuff. And I think what we learn from that is, number one, people don't know what's in their food and they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use plant-based alternatives for chicken and, mm-hmm. and beef and things. And as long as you fry it up and season it and add a lot of oil and salt, it's going to taste just as good, maybe better.
Yeah. Well, that's what the traditional version is, too. It's just taking something that you otherwise probably wouldn't find tasteful and making it easy to eat.
All right. What about Okay, well, leave the worst thing behind. What was some of the best things that you had?
Well, oh, okay. So, the best ice cream that I had. I'm big into sweets, mm-hmm. or at least I was. My sweet tooth seems to be on the decline uh-huh. since I've been eating so much of it on the road. But the best ice cream I had was actually at a raw restaurant called Cafe 118 Degrees in Winter Park, Florida.
Mm.
There's another restaurant with the same name in the L.A. area, but this is a different one in Florida. And completely raw ice cream, and it was the creamiest, best mint chocolate chip ice cream I've ever had in my life, with a beautiful cashew cream sauce on top and a chocolate drizzle. It was delicious.
Wow. And do you know what the base of the ice cream was?
I think it was cashew.
Yeah, cashews are pretty incredible, what they can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like vegan crack. Cashews.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is soak cashews, blend them up in a blender, and pour them on anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the best overall meals that I had was actually not too far from here. It's at a place called Veg in Philadelphia.
Oh, I've heard such good things about it, and I have yet to go there.
You have to go. It's
okay,
so delicious.
Okay, I'm going tomorrow.
It's really good.
Yeah, what did you have there?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
It was over a year ago.
Sure.
And I don't even remember the names of the dishes because they were so unique. It's kind of an upscale place, and they really play with the whole fruits and veggies. They don't do a lot with faux meat stuff, which is another part of the reason that I love it so much. But yeah, I remember there was this great appetizer with some kind of shredded mushroom thing, and the dessert there was really good. It was a blood orange strawberry cheesecake, I think. It was incredible, incredible.
Mm-hmm.
They're very talented there.
You don't know until you try it. You don't know how good this food can be. And I did the wrong thing by only eating breakfast today. Okay. All right. So you've traveled around. You've written a whole bunch. Now you're putting it in a book, I understand, something like that.
Yeah. Well, I had gotten a call from a new publishing company. They're actually called Vegan Publishers. Mm. And they asked me if I was considering writing about my journey, and I said I was considering it, but I had no timeline, and they offered to work with me on it. So a few weeks into talking to them, we signed a deal, and I officially am working on a book, which is terrifying because I've never thought of myself as an author or a writer, even though I have a blog. But I think the scarier part about it is that I'm not going to be repurposing the blog content. It's all going to be about the personal journey. And, of course, there will be lots of mentions about the food and, you know, slyly throwing veganism in there, because I would like it to be for a wide-range audience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, I found that it's really hard to put words to how much this experience changed my life.
Yeah, well, that's the challenge of writing. I know that personally, and you're searching, and you really need to go deep sometimes to find out what it is that really happened. What really happened, and how were you moved, and then how do you put it on the page, and then how do you make it sound interesting? All
right.
Tough things, and a lot of people do it, and a lot of people aren't very good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wish you all the best.
Thanks for that. That picked me up at the end.
But I think you're someone who decides what it is that needs to be done. You have good intention and you go for it. So I think you're going to do fine.
Thank you. Thank you.
And as long as you have great vegan food to fuel you along the way, how can you go wrong?
True.
And I think for the most part, a very supportive community.
Mm-hmm.
People want to see vegan success everywhere.
Well, that's one of the biggest takeaways I had from the road, actually, was that I learned that most people truly are good people. The community and the network that developed around What Will Travel for Vegan Food is today is really just a representation of how kind and generous people were. Mm. By the time I got to the West Coast, because I initially started over here on the East Coast, by the time I got to the West Coast, I was hardly sleeping in my van. I had couches and spare bedrooms and free meals. And I lived entirely off of donations while on the road. And again, just that alone speaks volumes to how kind people are. Even people I met and had dinner, shared meals with people who weren't vegan at all. They just heard about the journey and they were so interested and kind of captivated by this crazy thing that someone was doing. So, yeah, very cool stuff.
Well, I want to think that most of us are good, no matter what it is we eat.
Yes.
I want to believe that. I want to believe there's good in all of us, although sometimes it's challenging to believe that, but I really believe that. I think we're all kind of moldable. That's the human spirit, actually. And the more we allow, open ourselves up to learn about things, the more putty-like and flexible we are, and we can become better.
Yes. We just have to be ready for it in that moment, you know, which just speaks to what we were talking about earlier with resistance early on and not wanting to be told what to do. But I think it's almost specific to food, too. I feel like there's a very unique relationship that we have with food. It's very community-oriented. So taking that away from people can be scary.
Yeah.
So even though I think we're all inherently good and we want to do well for ourselves and the people around us and the environment, sometimes it can be hard when we're told that what we've been doing is wrong.
All right. So now we just have like 3 minutes left. What are your favorite foods other than ice cream?
Right. Yeah. Definitely sweets. I'm a sucker for anything from vegan treats, actually.
Oh, fabulous. Yeah.
They're so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm also like you. I'm a big fan of kale. I will eat it in any form. And actually, just the other day when you were talking about kale chips earlier, I had just enjoyed some very nice kale chips from MOB in Brooklyn. Really good vegan restaurant there. Yeah, I think kale is my favorite food. And actually, I'm intending to try to be mostly raw once I finish eating my way through New York City, just because honestly, the fake meat stuff that I had on the road and the sweets, it really did a number on my body. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I know I've been vegan for a long time, over 25 years, and my tastes have definitely changed as my knowledge has changed, as the food has changed. And there was a period when I was crazy for meat analogs. I just loved them. And I know there are some people, vegans, that will raise an eyebrow and say, you know, why is it you're eating meat analogs? You know, why do you like the taste of meat? And I never thought of it as meat. I never thought of it as the taste of meat. There's just, you know, a nice chew, and it had that salty, fatty, whatever flavor, and it was fun. That's all. But I'm over it now, and I prefer whole, minimally processed foods at this point. And, you know, occasionally I'll like a piece of cake, but I never like it when it's too sweet. Although, vegan treats.
They'll get you.
Yeah. They are pretty amazing. And then, you know, sometimes when I indulge, because I'm at a place that I've heard a lot about and I want to try everything, there's that need to afterwards to cleanse, and the body's just screaming, kale me, just give me kale.
Yeah.
I have to say, I'm feeling a little selfish. I just had this little fear. I don't know why I did, but I thought, if I keep pushing kale, are we going to run out of kale? Is there not going to be enough kale to go around for everybody?
I don't think we have to worry about that anytime soon.
Yeah, I think so. But we need to start growing more kale, because people should be eating a lot of it. Okay. Was there any one? We have like less than a minute, but favorite kale recipe? Kale chips? Is that what it is?
I actually really like it kind of just rubbed with salt and then put some lemon, like fresh lemon juice on it and just straight up like that, like a kale salad, fresh.
Yeah. Kale salad. Love it. Yeah. I'm going to get me some right now. Well, Kristen, thank you so much for joining me on It's All About Food. All the best with Will Travel for Vegan Food.
Thank you.
And that's WTVF.
WTF.
WTF.
We'll travel for vegan food.
Okay, very good. Well, I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. Thank you so much for joining me. And I hope you've had a delicious hour with me. I know I have. And keep it delicious. Have a delicious week. Bye-bye.